Yes, please. Good evening. So used to saying good morning. How are you? Nobody? Is everyone doing good? You all good? Good. Are you liking it so far? Do you guys like this series? Like, do you like it enough to want to dig deeper, or you just like it enough to make me keep talking? It's good? So there's just a few more weeks. I think we have 3 more weeks left in our Emotionally Healthy Relationship series. It has definitely changed the way that I interact with people. I don't know about you, but it has left an impact. Tonight, we are going to be talking about climbing the ladder of integrity. So when I read this title, I instantly thought, integrity, that's doing the right thing when no one else is looking. So right away, I focused on myself and my acts, and the very first sentence in the workbook completely slapped my hand, and it's really talking about who God's created us originally to be and to know what the true seeds of who he's created us to be. It has nothing to do with what I'm doing. It has everything to do with what I'm living. So we're going to talk tonight about how God has crafted each one of you. I want you to think about your life up until this point. I know we don't always do it, and it's a little bit awkward, but just think about that. When you were being created in your mother's womb, God created a personality for you. He created thought processes for you, dreams, temperaments, feelings, talents, gifts, and even your desires. God did that on purpose for each one of you. He planted true seeds of self deep inside of you to live faithfully and serve him as you lived. It's not about doing the right thing in your homes, and it's not about doing the right thing with your kids, at your job. It's not about any of that. It's about living what we're called to live in the way that God created us. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. The best example of that, can anyone guess who it is? Jesus, this little kid in the front said, Jesus, Jesus. That's right. Jesus is the example. He was so secure in the Father's love for him. He knew who he was and who God created him to be. And that's what we're going to kind of model tonight after. If you think about Jesus's life, there were so many expectations on him. Everywhere he went, there was an expectation. The people that saw him walking through a town, the people that heard him speaking, they all had an expectation. And I just want to let you in on a little tiny secret. He disappointed them every time he went out. You're going to disappoint people probably every day. I know that is really heavy, but probably every day you will disappoint people, and that's okay because it's not about the people. It's about the Lord. So there was so much pressure to live according to everyone's expectations on Jesus, but he remained faithful to the Father's will for his life. Oftentimes, every day, we violate our own integrity right away in the morning. How are you today? I'm good. That's a lie. You're not good every morning. Instantly, out the gate, you violated your true feeling, who you are in that moment, and we don't even think about it. We just instantly violate what's going on inside of us. And why do we do that? Why do we do that? Do we really not want to get into that conversation with someone? Or is it just habit? Either way, very scary if it's habit that we've created this culture where we just do what's easiest. Or if we're in complete denial and we really think we are good. Either way, it's not a good thing. So maybe when we overlook or ignore values that are dear to us, it gets us in trouble. So if your life is a Broadway show, so would it be sold out? The show of Rick, the life of Rick. So I want you to think, is your onstage character, so who you play on stage, the same persona of your offstage character? So who you are at the show, is that who you are when you're practicing for the show? So I just want to think about that tonight as we go. Are there anyone else in the room besides me that likes to please people? People pleasers, everybody raise your hand. That's true. So it kind of goes in spurts. If you're a people pleaser, you know this. Sometimes you really care, and sometimes you care a little bit less. So are you really a people pleaser? You want to keep people happy? Or is it easier for you to people please? So you might not please people because it's better for them. You really please them because it's better for you. That was a struggle for me. I don't quite know where I fall on that spectrum there. But I just thought, do I like to keep things peaceful? or do I not like to say no to people? Many of us feel guilty for saying no a lot. Have you ever had a situation where you know that no is maybe the right answer, but you feel bad saying it? You know that you shouldn't be doing something, or you know that you shouldn't be giving your money to something, or you know that maybe you shouldn't be a part of something going on, but you don't want to say no to it, so you do it because you want to be liked, and we don't want to disappoint people. I'm going to go through just quickly references in ways that Jesus said no. So in the Bible, if you go and read through the New Testament, you're going to see where he said no time after time after time again. In John 6, he said no to the crowds who wanted to make him king. In Matthew 16, he said no to Peter, who wanted him to avoid the cross. In John 5, he said no to religious leaders who wanted him to stop claiming to be the Messiah. This one's really hard for me. In Mark 3, he said no to his family who wanted him to return home. It's hard to say no to your family, isn't it? If Jesus had refused to say no because he was afraid of disappointing people, he wouldn't have fulfilled the mission and God-given purpose that was placed on him. He would have been living up to people's expectations and not God's. We're going to begin to get familiar tonight with giving a healthy, firm no. If we are not giving a healthy no sometimes, perhaps we're not fulfilling the Father's full destiny on our lives. So, Miss Sarah had said one time that when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And I loved that. But I thought another way to look at that is when you say no to something, you're not coming against something. You're supporting yourself. So you're not against it, you're for you. And that's not to say that you're not going to say no or make decisions like that. But if I'm saying no, I don't want to be involved in this activity, it's not that I don't support that Bible study. It's not that I don't support that small group. It's not that I don't support the person. It's just that I've got to support me. And we've got to come to a place where we really find out, Lord, what have you created me for? Where am I supposed to be walking and moving right now? So while my no may make you sad, you might not like it when people tell you no, it should not make you feel bad. It's okay to be sad in that moment, but it shouldn't make you feel bad ongoing. If you say yes when you mean no, that's bad. If you say yes when you mean no, let's think about that. It erodes your integrity and hurts both parties. I looked up erodes because I thought, that's just a fancy word, you know. And it says gradually wear away or gradually destroy. So when you say yes, but you really mean no, you are gradually destroying your own integrity. And I thought, that's awful. Like, think every day where you say yes to something that you really know you should say no to something. You know, you're going out to lunch, a corporate lunch, and you maybe don't think you should sit in a certain area of the restaurant, or you should order a certain food at the restaurant, or maybe your boss won't notice if you come back 10 minutes late. But you know in your mind, but you're saying yes to it anyways because nobody else is leaving and everybody else is ordering that food. So you just go ahead and do it, but it eventually hurts both parties. Somewhere along the lines, we've developed a tendency that this is normal and that this is okay. And to speak up our value and our preferences, that's just not allowed, unless, of course, it's on a social media platform. And then that's okay. So we've created this culture where unless we are broadcasting it or posting it or boosting it or putting it on an Instagram feed, then we're a hypocrite or we're a bigot. And so we've got to learn to say no in conversations instead of just platforms that broadcast out there. How about at work? Uncomfortable situations at work. Maybe you don't want your coworker to know that you celebrate Christmas because that might be offensive. That might be offensive to them. Or maybe my family won't like me anymore if I don't allow my children to watch that in their home. Those sorts of things. It's a slow fade, but it happens over time. And we just need to begin to recognize that. I want you to take a minute and look, get close. We're going to be in pairs quite a bit tonight. So if you don't have someone next to you or near you, maybe move around a little so you're a little bit closer to someone. Just take a minute, turn to the person next to you, and I want you to name a specific fear. I know you're thinking of it right now that keeps coming to your head, and it keeps you from having a difficult conversation, maybe with a spouse or with a friend or with your children. What's something that is coming to your head that might be difficult to talk about, and why is that? Yep, buddy up, and then just stay there because you'll need to be there again. Go ahead, name a specific fear that you carry that keeps you from having a hard conversation. Okay, that's good. Did everyone share with their buddy? We will revisit that. We're going to look something up. Galatians 2, 11 through 14. Can someone look that up for me? Galatians 2, 11 through 14. This is just an example of kind of a confrontation that happens in the Bible. Sean has it, I think. Sean, front row. Yep, 2:11 through 14.
This is from the NLT. That's fancy. Okay. This is from the NLT. Paul confronts Peter. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterwards, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Through 14. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, "Since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions?"
Thank you. It's obvious in this passage what Peter should have done, or maybe what he did wrong. It's obvious to see that looking from the outside. And how many times have we been in that situation, though, where maybe we act one way around a certain group and then more come in and we act a little bit differently? Your buddy that you're with, you're going to talk about this. In what area of your life might you be like Peter, desiring the approval of others and acting in a way that is inconsistent with your values? A little bit of honesty here. Does anybody want to share? I know it's a little personal. I have a really silly one. I completely want to be a boot person, but I don't feel like it's always working out. That's totally the same thing.
I work as a delivery driver for FedEx, and I see hundreds and hundreds of people a day. And in my personal opinion, people... I should say I'm a liar or don't believe me, but I truly do enjoy every day. I am happy. I'm joyful every day. But some days are rough. Some days are not. But people ask me all the time, or hi, how are you? I see hundreds of people, and hi, how are you? Hey, how are you? And my response 99.9% of the time is the same, because I am very truly joyful. But people misinterpret that. They think I'm lying, so they peel at me. So sometimes I feel forced to give a generic, basic answer to pass the conversation, and that's a lie, because sometimes I want to tell them how alive I'm feeling or how happy I am with my children, but I can't, because they almost prejudge me on being a liar because I'm happy, and it's hardening, so I have to be fake to dim down to their level.
Makes me sad, but it's so true. I when as you're saying that, it makes me think of just parenting groups. You know, they have all these moms groups that you go to when your kids are young and all this stuff, and you go and everyone is just sick and tired of their kids. And you know, I would think the same thing. Like, I love my children. Yeah, they can be a little crazy town sometime, but praise the Lord that they're healthy and that I have them. But you almost feel like you have to find something to complain about to fit into that group. So I understand that feeling for sure. We're going to watch a little bit of a video here real quick about something called the ladder of integrity and all of these feelings that kind of come up in these situations for us. It's going to address how we work through that. So Josh.
In the Emotionally Healthy Relationships course. In session one, we began with the community temperature reading, our beginner skill. In session two, we did stop mind reading and clarify expectations. Then in session three, we did genogram your family. Our fourth was explore the iceberg, and our last session was listen incarnationally. This session builds on the previous skills and is more challenging. We call this climb the ladder of integrity. This is used when something is bothering you, when you have been experiencing tension with someone or a situation. You find yourself perhaps angry or frustrated, bothered or hurt. Oftentimes it has to do with the fact that something important to you, something you value, is being violated. Let's review the purpose of the ladder of integrity. It is to clarify your values by processing your thoughts and feelings, and if necessary, to assert yourself respectfully.
Here are some examples. Every time you're out to dinner with your friend, they take phone calls. It's getting to you, but you're not sure whether you have a right to say something. You have a family member that tells racist jokes. It really bothers you, but you don't know how to address it. You call your friend, but they never call you. Why does this aggravate you so much? A coworker continually talks negatively about another coworker, and you have this growing uneasiness about it. Your friend consistently takes needless risks when driving, and you have conflicting feelings about it. You're on edge every time you call home because there's something about the way your mother or father talk to you that disturbs you. You are becoming more conscious that you don't like watching movies that your spouse picks that have inappropriate or unnecessary sex or violence in them. Climb the Ladder of Integrity is meant to help you get honest and clear about what's going on inside of you and to discover your values. How for you they are being violated. Once you identify why something is important to you, then you can take responsibility for it. This, of course, involves slowing down for reflection, and that's what the ladder of integrity is all about. It's meant to help you respond respectfully based on your values rather than merely being reactive. In other words, it enables you to live with integrity. What I mean by that is, what is important to you on the inside is congruent with what you are living on the outside. Let's go back to those earlier examples. Every time you're out to dinner with your friend, they take phone calls. So instead of getting frustrated and saying nothing in an effort to be nice, or something sarcastic like, "Oh, nice of you to join me again," you climb the ladder and get in touch with your value of having a relationship where you can give each other your full attention. You have a family member that tells racist jokes. It really bothers you, but you don't know how to address it. So instead of avoiding them or saying something like, "What is your problem?" you climb the ladder and you get clear about your value for the dignity of all people. You call your friend, but your friend never calls you. Instead of deciding, "I'm not going to call them anymore," you climb the ladder and get clear on how you value mutual initiative in this particular friendship. You are on edge every time you call home because there's something about the way your mother or father interact with you that you find disturbing. So instead of making excuses of why you can't visit them, you climb the ladder and realize that when your mother or father speak to you, your own sense of value and dignity feels diminished. You prefer they speak to you clearly and respectfully. So you take the time to prepare to have a conversation with them. I've learned that in order to have a healthy relationship with myself and others, I need to know my values. I need to be congruent between what I value and what I am living. Climbing the ladder of integrity helps us move towards this healthy integration. A lot of us don't realize how much depression and anxiety can stem from living out of fear of expressing ourselves. Unfortunately, most of us have not been taught how to discover and uncover our values. The reason the ladder of integrity is so important is because Scripture tells us we are each uniquely created in the image of God with distinct preferences, hopes, dreams, and values. No one else can live your life and express your values except you.
So climbing the ladder of integrity may sometimes involve moral issues of right and wrong. Other times it may involve gray areas or personal preferences. For example, in Galatians 2, Paul's integrity caused him to confront Peter about his hypocrisy by refusing to eat with the Gentiles in the church at Antioch. It may be a moral issue, such as pornography, abuse of anger, or stealing. Other times, when we are talking about integrity, we are talking about what Romans 14 calls gray issues. Gray issues refer to things that are not necessarily right or wrong. We may differ on the kinds of movies we watch, tattoos, how far above the speed limit we go. Paul writes in Romans 14, "Some consider one day more sacred than another. Others consider every day alike. Everyone should be fully convinced in their own mind." Remember, the ladder of integrity is not a conflict resolution skill. Fight cleanly, the next skill will be used for that. The purpose of this skill is for you to clarify what is going on inside of you so you can identify your values and then, if appropriate, respectfully assert them rather than react or blame others. Note the progression of the ladder in your workbook. Notice we begin at the bottom and we go up. Numbers 1 to 6 have to do with what's going on inside of me. So you're going to see now sentence stems that you'll be asked to complete. Number 1, right now the issue on my mind is. 2, I'm anxious and talking about this because. 3, my part in this is. 4, my need in this issue is. 5, my feelings about this are. 6, what my reaction tells me about me is. Then it moves to what I value in numbers 7 to 10. 7, this issue is important to me because I value, and I violate this value when. You'll notice a star next to this because this is the heart of what you are trying to get at in the ladder. 8, I am willing/not willing to. 9, one thing I could do to improve the situation is. And 10, the most important thing I want you to know is. Then finally, the last two sentence stems deal with what I hope. 11 reads, I think my honest sharing will benefit our relationship by. And 12, I hope and look forward to. Now we've included two additional examples of the latter in the appendix. This will give you ideas of how others have completed the sentence stems, which I think will be useful for you when you write out your own ladder of integrity. For now, we are going to show you a model of someone using the ladder of integrity. His name is Phil. But first, I need to give you some background around the issue. It has a number of details, so stay with me as I explain them. Phil was on staff at New Life Fellowship. He was in charge of the baptisms at each of our 3 Easter Sunday services. Myrna, another staff, was responsible for scheduling the people getting baptized at each of the services. It had been a busy weekend already with Good Friday services. It's now Saturday morning. Phil gets a text message from his supervisor, Rich. Rich had run into Emily, a 17-year-old girl, at our Good Friday service. She was all excited because she was getting baptized on Easter Sunday, and her family, who didn't attend our church, was coming to watch. Rich looked at the baptismal list and realized Emily's name was not on it. So he texts Phil and says, "Follow up on this situation. Emily's coming to get baptized." Saturday is Phil's Sabbath, and he's with his wife. And what was supposed to take 5 minutes ends up costing him 5 hours. It gets resolved. She gets baptized, but he is frustrated by the experience. Now, Mirna, who was responsible for getting the name straight for the baptism, missed Emily's name. So on Easter Sunday, Mirna says to Phil, "I'm really sorry for what happened." Phil then says, "It was not a big deal. It's okay." When Phil told me this, it was obvious that it really did bother him. So I suggested he use the ladder of integrity. So we worked with him on this. Now you're going to watch Phil practice with me going up the ladder. Notice that he will process his thoughts and feelings with someone neutral, not the person with whom he has the issue. In this case, I will be the neutral person, and I will listen without interrupting or asking questions. Also notice that Phil will start at the bottom and go up the ladder. After that, we will bring in Mirna so he can speak to her directly. After you watch him model it, turn off the video and follow the instructions in your workbook.
Hey, Pete, would you mind if I could practice the ladder of integrity with you, just so I can get all the blame out?
Sure.
So right now, the issue on my mind is my lack of honesty about how your scheduling mistake impacted me around Easter Sunday. When you came and apologized, I told you it was no big deal, when in reality, it was a big deal. I'm anxious about this because in my Indian culture, it's an unspoken expectation that a younger person never raise an issue with someone that is older or a more experienced staff person when they make a mistake. We are to keep it to ourselves, but this eventually damages relationships, churches, and families. I'm also a people pleaser, and I really want you to like me. So I was afraid that you could be offended and create some distance between us. So my part in this is that I wasn't honest with you, and I lied. And my need in this is to acknowledge that I was dishonest with you. My need is also to practice speaking truthfully with another person, or an elder, or someone with more experience on staff. So my feelings about this are many. I was disappointed in myself, and I was a bit devastated when I realized that I had lied to you. To tell you that it was no big deal was the furthest thing from the truth. See, it was my Sabbath, and it was something that my soul desperately needed between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. So it was the one day of the week that Debbie and I get to spend together and share our Sabbath, and it also happened to be the weekend of our 1 year wedding anniversary. What I thought was going to take about 5 minutes to fix took about 5 hours. So to try to make most of the day, we went to the mall, and I ended up making phone calls from the car while Debbie went shopping. Now, shopping is a joy for Debbie, but it created this anxiety in me because I was nervous that she was going to spend way too much money at the mall. So as I was doing this, she went and shopped, and I was spending time trying to fix this in the car. So as you can see, I went through so many emotions on this day, having my Sabbath and my anniversary impacted, and then realizing that I lied to you on that Sunday really disturbed me. What my reaction teaches me about me is how deep my family of origin and my Indian culture avoid having difficult conversations, and that lives inside of me. And it was easy for me to be dishonest with you, and this really grieves me deeply. This issue is important to me because I value truthfulness and having integrity within myself. And when I don't speak honestly, I violate my own integrity. This is very disturbing to me because I want to be a person who is authentic, that you can see on the outside and I am the same person on the inside. I'm not willing to continue this pattern of dishonesty. One thing I can do to improve the situation is by taking time to get clear with myself and also take opportunities like this one to engage in a vulnerable and humbling conversation. So the most important thing I want you to know is that I respect you and I value your work as an awesome executive. I want you to know how difficult this is for me because of my history and family and culture. I think my honest sharing will benefit our relationship because it will build this greater trust between us. You will know I can be honest with you, and I will not be holding on to anything internally. I hope and look forward to more opportunities in our working relationship, and also an opportunity for us to be a sign of the kingdom to our community. And I hope you feel free to come to me as well.
Phil, that's great. So now you can obviously do a lot of integrity just for yourself. Sometimes you want to go talk to the person. Would you like to that we bring Myrna in and you speak to her?
I think I need to speak to Myrna.
Okay, great. Thanks, Phil.
Hey, Myrna.
Hi.
I just want to thank you for just taking this time for allowing me to share something very important to you.
Yes, of course.
And it has to do with the scheduling mistake on Easter Sunday.
Hmm.
Now, I really appreciate that you apologized to me the next day. But the reality is, when you came to me and I said it was no big deal, that's the most important part here. I lied to you.
Wow.
What I thought was going to take about 5 minutes to fix, in reality, took 5 hours. And it happened to be the one day of the week that Debbie and I get to share a Sabbath. It also happened to be the weekend of our 1 year wedding anniversary.
Oops.
So the day was all thrown off. Now, my purpose in telling you all this now is I want to acknowledge that I was dishonest with you. And I'm very surprised because I brushed it off like it was nothing. What grieved me and scared me was that I so easily lied to you.
Mm.
So as I reflected on all of this, I realized that it is deep within my Indian culture and my family of origin to avoid having difficult conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to ask for your forgiveness, Myrna, for not being honest with you and lying to you and pretending like everything was okay. By God's grace, I am totally committed to working on this area of my life. See, I respect you and I value your work as an awesome executive.
Thank you.
And I'm hoping this is an opportunity that will just build greater trust between us and also an opportunity for us to be a sign of the kingdom to our community. So I just want to thank you for allowing me to share this with you.
Thank you, Phil, and thank you for sharing. And yes, I forgive you, and I'm sorry about that. I'm very, very sorry. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Okay, yeah, it is good. So I know it looks a little awkward and drawn out. I have a handout for you, that ladder of integrity that maybe Pastor Harris and Sarah could pass out. I think he has all of them there. It looks like this. So I took this week, left it in my little notebook that goes everywhere with me, and I would say 80% of the time, this all happened just inside of me. Like, this wasn't anything that I went to anybody with. It wasn't anything that I kind of told everyone that I was doing. But there were two instances that I did have to go to someone and I did have to talk to them and kind of talk that out. It works so well. Turns out there are just so many emotions inside of me that I really don't need to put on everybody else. So we're going to do this tonight. I know you're super excited. So you will want to have a buddy close to you. If we're short one, I can be someone's buddy too, but I just want to go over this a little bit. This is the ladder of integrity. Now, I know it looks like it takes a long time, but it's really not too bad. It's supposed to be used when something is bothering you, but maybe you just can't shake it. So it doesn't have to be, you know, this life-changing thing. Sometimes things happen in your day that just kind of throw you and you can't really get rid of it. It's nothing that is, you know, going to alter your life forever, but you just can't get over it and you need to figure out how to work through that. That is what this tool is for. If you're angry, frustrated, or hurt, if you feel any of those emotions, that's a cue. Hey, maybe I should get out this ladder because I need to deal with that before it develops into something bigger. It will help you clarify your value by processing those thoughts and feelings. So, just a reminder, it's not a conflict resolution tool. This ladder of integrity is not to solve everyone's problems or to make those relationships better. This is to basically get it together inside of your own heart before you go to someone else and talk about that. Each of us, like they said, are created in God's image. He created us with preferences. He created us with opinions, dreams, values. And sometimes this ladder might involve big moral issues. A lot of times it's not going to. It may just involve a gray area, kind of like what he talked about from Romans 14. It's just to get it clear within your heart. The thing that spoke to me so loudly about this is, we live in a culture where everything is just public. We just throw it out there, and if it makes us feel better, with no resolution, with no action behind it, with nothing there, as long as it's out there and it's off my chest, I don't care what it does to everybody else because I'm better now. And so this, I've used it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and there's so many things that maybe just silly things that maybe frustrated me or upset me, and this kind of just diffused each one of those things. So we're going to go through that. If you have a pen, you may want a pen. Did you hand those out? Thank you. So if you have a pen, you can write on the back side if you would like, or you can write on the front side. But I want you to identify in your life a non-volatile issue that bothers you. So there's two criteria to this. We need to make sure that it is not an issue because of an assumption that you have made about whatever it is that's bothering you. And we need to make sure that it's an issue because it's not failure to clarify an expectation on your end. So I will give you an example. Some of those things may be someone's excessive tardiness. Maybe someone's cell phone usage drives you crazy. Maybe they're a slob and you happen to live with them and they don't pick anything up. Maybe that's it. TV watching, maybe they watch too much TV. Maybe they're missing appointments, or something more serious. Maybe they're just not honest with you and you know it and it bothers you very much. The example that I'm going to give you that I thought, now I hesitated to tell you all about this example because none of you will treat me the same after it. So if any of you have ever emailed me, you will know that sometimes in my email I put, please confirm that you received this. And you know, sometimes people don't. Sometimes they don't confirm. And so I thought, okay, is this a faulty assumption? And am I assuming that they're not responding? Nope, there's no response. That's not an assumption. And did I not clarify an expectation? Again, no, I put right in there, please confirm that you received this email. So I thought, okay, good, I passed step number one. So that is step number one on your paper before we buddy up. We're going to take just a couple of minutes, and I want you to think about what is the issue that's bothering you that we're going to go through this ladder through with someone. It doesn't have to be big. It can be small. Just something that is bothering you. It matters if it's still bothering you, and you can think of it tonight. So go ahead and write number one and write down that issue. I will give you a little prompt to kind of word that to yourself. There are two ways to do this. If you can be disrespectful or you can be respectful. And, you know, I'm sure that you'll be able to think of both in your head. So you could say, right now, the issue on my mind is, and what would be appropriate for me to say is, right now, the issue on my mind is how it makes me feel unimportant when you don't take time to respond to my email. Rather than saying, the issue on my mind right now is, what is more important than responding to my email and why haven't you done it? So there's two different ways that you can do that. We want to write down, right now the issue on my mind is, and then choose what sounds respectful to put there because we're trying to walk through this respectfully. So if you are next to a buddy, there's one rule with who your buddy is. It needs to not be the person your issue is with. So it's okay if you have to move. We are not going to judge. But just make sure what you're about to go through in your letter of integrity is maybe not a frustration, you know. Maybe it's something else. That's okay. So just find a buddy. And it can't be the person you're having an issue with. So what we're going to do is we're going to take this letter. You each will get 5 minutes. And I'll tell you when the 5 minutes are up. The speaker will start. The way you start it, like they said, is you ask for permission. You're going to start at the bottom of the ladder. Go ahead and use those prompts. And then skip it if it doesn't help you explore it. So if you've already answered it in another one, you can skip it. Then when you're done, thank them. Listeners, the opposite buddy, the only rule for you is that you don't interrupt them. And it's super important for this. I will tell you, I did take this to someone after I walked through it, maybe or maybe not, that lives in my house, and got interrupted. And I will tell you, it demolishes any progress that you've made when you get interrupted. So that's the only job of the listener. So we'll start right now. You have 5 minutes, so go ahead and start. You 5 minutes, and then did you guys think? Did you like it, or was it uncomfortable? We will, yeah, here in a minute. What'd y'all think? Good? It must have been really good because you don't want to talk about it. That's usually the indicator. That's awesome. That's awesome. So does anyone want to share how it went? Was it uncomfortable? Yeah, it was a little bit for sure.
Looks most uncomfortable is going to get chosen. You look most comfortable with your legs like that? Let's see.
You don't
does
have
anybody
to.
Want to share? Okay.
I broke the rules. We broke the rules. Because it was about...
Oh, sure. And that's okay if you can handle it. You just don't have to.
Well, but it is a good thing. Because yeah. I'm a stuffer.
Me too.
Stuff them to please. So I finally shared something. So it was good. But I wanted to comment earlier about, you know, when everybody just... When they ask you how you're doing and you say... I'm good. You say that because you really don't think the other person wants to hear what you've got
That's
going
true.
On. Or they don't have the time. You don't have the time.
That's true. You know, it shouldn't matter to us, but it does.
I am really doing good. It's I've got no, I'm not. I just aired it.
Stuffing. That's a very appropriate time for Thanksgiving.
I mean, it shouldn't matter, but we do think about what other people feel, and also kind of shame on us for helping create that culture that we feel like we can't be open to receive that. How do you think that this tool might better enable you to listen to God's voice? That's a good one.
Sarah's trying not to look at me.
How might this better enable you by practicing this ladder of integrity to hear the voice of the Lord?
Demu?
Good evening. I think that honestly, it teaches patience to wait to hear the Spirit of the Lord. Oftentimes in devotion, like we kind of scoot through. I'll speak for me. Sometimes, you know, I have to be at work at 7:20, so I'm like, I'm up, but I just need to get through this devotion. And then, God, I've read my devotion, and then I'm praying, and then I'll hear from you later type of thing. So it takes patience to hear from him and trust that he's the head, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And really start that day waiting on him. And as he wants us to move, we move. You know, when he moves, we move. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. For me, it clears some of the junk out that's always going on in my head. A lot of this happens internally. We don't take this to a lot of people, this ladder of integrity. And it frees up my mind. So many times I'm clouded with everything going on and how it makes me feel. And if I can just get that out of there, I can focus more on what's important versus versus my own life there. Thank you for sharing. So just a reminder, don't take this home and try to solve all your problems with this ladder of integrity. This is for you, for getting it all together inside of you. And then if you get to a point where all the blame has been removed in your heart, at that point you're ready to talk to the other person. So this week, I encourage you to just practice using this in your marriage, maybe parenting, work, church, all of that. And just remember, Jesus is he's our model of integrity. John 17:4 says, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. We really are blessed to be doing the work that God's given us to do, and we just maybe need to refocus with where that's at. So thank you. You shut me off. All right. Lord Jesus, Father God, I just thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you, Father, for everyone that's here, everyone that came to hear what you had for us. Father God, I pray, Lord, that this week we could just begin to maybe look at all of those thoughts and those feelings that are constantly going through our head, Lord, constantly going through our heart, Father God. And I pray that we could just hand those over to you, Lord Jesus, walking through these tools that you've given us, that we can just give that to you, Father, so that we can become closer with you, Lord, and just more focus, more glory for you, Lord Jesus. Go with us tonight and bring us back safely on Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.